Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. I'm not going to prolong the agony because we need to have answers. And we have our brother, but prior to bringing our brother on, I want to tell everybody in Chicagoland and Indiana and Wisconsin, even up to Minnesota, Iowa, that I will be at Imam Muhammad's headquarters called the Mosque Cares at 929 West 131st Street, East Hazelcrest, Illinois. The doors are open, I believe, at 12 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, the doors will open. And I will be giving a very special address called The Emergence of Global Man, the Committed Witness. So I expect those in the Midwest, those who got enough money to fly right on in, God has given me a powerful message. So without further ado, everybody knows our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. As we bring him on, may Allah bless him and guide him to guide us on the right path. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank him for the gift and blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God. And what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation as to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible as it is given in the dearly beloved audience. We greet you in the greeting of peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. And we say to Brother Imam, we ask Allah to bless you with safe travels to Chicago. And we ask him to make your work productive and that you plant a seed to touch at least one human being and make the life that God has given better through your service. We are living in the days of events. Of commotion, followed by oft-repeated commotion. We living in the day of Yom Medin, the day, as Bible says, all eyes shall see. We living in the days, however, where truth comes on the clouds of confusion. And believe me, there are many Muslims who are confused, so-called Muslim, many Christians who are confused, and many Jews or people who follow the Jewish faith are confused, and even the agnostic and the atheist in this day and time are confused. So before the sun comes out and we can see clearly, there must be a phenomenon that comes on the cloud. The clarity comes behind a cloudy and confused period. But as we approach the 40th anniversary of the mission of Imam Muhammad as he commenced it officially in February 1975, maybe no more than three months away at the most. We see now clarity coming. We see now why the fact that his mother was named Clara was prescient in the sense that she would birth a son that would bring a clear message, where in time all eyes shall see. And if Muslims, if we're in the clouds of confusion, why, that's our fault. Meant that we did not give ourselves over to the tafsir and the clear guidance that Imam Allah blessed Imam Muhammad to bring. It's simple as that. No debate, no argument. There's no dispute about that fact. In a court of law, a summary judgment would be issued. We want to continue today with our topic, and don't think that in a belief system where Tawheed or oneness is the number one ideological and philosophical principle, that anything in Allah's holistic reality is disconnected from other things. Don't for any time believe that's the case. So it's nothing that we're doing Islamically in this day of Yom Adin that's disconnected from other things that's happening so-called outside the masjid. If there's anything that's disconnected, it's us. And our deen, conviction is our power. And if we have lost our conviction and disconnected our power, then naturally we're not getting any juice to see anything. Can the blind lead the blind? That old carver can't tell me nothing. I ask you, can the blind lead the blind? We got the Quran and Sunnah, brother. I ask you, can the blind lead the blind? We're going to fast during the month of Ramadan. I ask you, can the blind lead the blind? Me and my friends going to Hajj this year. I ask you, can the blind lead the blind? We're living in serious prophetic times. And God says in the Quran that he will come against forces, allow the roof to cave in, and I'm paraphrasing, they will be challenged from direction they perceive not. We can't predict how Allah coming at this thing, but once he start coming at it, once he start working, once his will becomes manifest, then as convicted believers, we ought to be able to identify it and call it and map it and chart it for all eyes to see. For all eyes to see. And anything that's happening is designed to complete the work of Muhammad in America that was started from the time that the first Muslims came over here from Africa in slavery. And even prior to that, I don't care how disconnected it seems from our religion technically of Al-Islam, you better believe it's one Allah, one matter, one human being, and one reality. So just say, brother, I can't make the connection. I can't see the connection. I can't feel the connection. I can't fathom the connection. But I must admit, it may be one there. I just can't see it. At least if we take that position, excuse me if I cough every now and then, at least if we take that position, we would be sincere and innocent We won't project our sin of a lack of perception because the conviction has dried up. And then projecting a conversation on others, we're trying to be sincere, trying to operate from conviction and sincerely discern the work of their Lord. And you got one sin by allowing our, we got one sin of allowing our conviction to dry up, and then we commit a double sin by dumping on, talking about, and undermining brothers and sisters who have not lost conviction, who believe that the Lord is working, who believe that this is Yom Medin, who believe that the Imam had the appropriate tafsir for the Quran and Sunnah the Prophet during this day and time. Who believe that? So some of us lose that, commit that sin, and then we create a double sin by dumping on others. If I had lost my conviction, I'd go somewhere and sit down and make dua to a lot of these raised up, some folk or some combination of folk that trying to see this thing and got the strength to try to express it. And I ask the Lord, you know they're going to be imperfect. You know they're not going to have what the great prophets have. You know they're going to have problems. So Allah, have mercy on them. Allah, indulge them. Allah, show them clemency. They just darkest trying to take a stand for right. I done dried up a lot, but they have all our bless them so that we all can be blessed, so that we all can receive mercy, so that we all can be helped. And maybe by their example, if you give them that, maybe also you'll give the same thing to me. And my dried up, weak conviction will come back. Maybe you're resurrected. But if we don't take that attitude, maybe we'll be like that fig tree talks about in the Bible, that that will up and die and never bear fruit again. That withers up and die and never bear fruit again. As we move along, I have been transparent ever since I've been on this show. I have been open ever since I've been on this show. I've never pretended to be a sheikh. I never looked for anyone to look up at me as one of these peacocking, show-off priestly imams that's looking for a following. If I hear the imam say, I don't care if you follow me or not, greatest explicator of Quran since Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I heard him say that over and over and over. Say, I don't need nobody but me, myself, and I. If this big man was not looking for a following, a donkey like me would be presumptuous to think that somebody gonna follow him. I'm not looking for anybody to follow me. This is a forum. It's a speaking forum. And the last time I checked, what do awakened donkeys do? They speak with a man's voice. What do awakened donkeys do? They speak with a man's voice. What does a bony donkey do? Excuse me. When Allah bring them together and clothes them with flesh, they demonstrate their new found clothing, their new found knowledge by expressing it sincerely. So I'm up front. I'm a dark hair. Out of the woods of Alabama. One generation from, two generations from Muleville. Well, my granddaddy, Jim Sayles, as I said on a couple of other occasions, literally had to go into the woods from sun up to sundown with nothing but himself and a mule and a pulley. And in the darkness of the wood, would struggle to come out the woods to the light all day long, moving logs. My daddy, his son, had on a first grade education. That's right, my father had on a first grade education. Never made progress even in elementary school beyond the first grade. Now, how can I look at myself with that kind of pedigree and background as being anything other than a doctor? Now, if you study Carando, once that doctor get there, showing a little light, the old slave master, if he was resurrected and saw his donkey speaking with a man, boy, according to Quran, he said he burst out his mouth. I know that God has power over all things. So if a disbelieving, resurrected, wicked slave master bear witness to God when a donkey began to speak, what in the world should we do as so-called believing people when we see the donkey is amongst us speaking with a man's voice? The donkey is not looking for prey, but we should immediately say, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Almighty God has power over all things. And as we go tonight, looking at current events within the context of cosmic purpose and unfolding of the divine and cosmic plan, I wish we could have on the other end of the line somebody from the highest academia to come on and talk with this donkey, to challenge this donkey. That'll never happen because every word that proceed out of their mouth will be swallowed up by the truth that Allah has revealed in the Quran. Let me go. I'm not going to, inshallah, keep it too long. I'm going to announce the topic tonight very, very slowly. Of course, you've heard the first part over and over and over again. Debunking the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed imam. But listen slowly. It is time for the end of Esau so that the ice age has begun to thaw. I repeat, it is time for the end of Esau so that the ice age has begun to thaw. Well, began to thaw. let's just reflect a little bit on the doctrine of oneness. There's a city in Chicago, in America, called Chicago, Illinois. A process of African-American cultural and civilization started there with a great African-American who some say started the city. So once that seed is planted, there is a oneness there with that theme. And we should expect that the big things happening to African-Americans in Chicago from then on is going to be part of that one legacy. Civilization building and cultural reestablishment. And Farad, he encouraged us to teach civilization, And so the Nation of Islam comes out of that womb, the fruit of that womb. The fruit of that Islam is the Quranic induced mind of Imam Wahduddin Muhammad. That's all part of the one legacy. And then as he emerged from his mission some decade or so later, an individual comes to Chicago named Barack Hussein Obama. So he and Imam live in the same contemporary time, and they are both in Chicago. So according to the law of oneness, it's impossible for them not to be connected up in that same process of African-stimulated civilization construction and cultural enhancement. Oh, yes. So when we think about the myth of Ham, not only do we think about Imam Muhammad, we think about Barack Hussein Obama and how he's being treated. How there's overt and covert attempt by some, not all, in this wonderful American democracy. Covert and overt attempts to make him as Ham look like a failure. Even though such a strategy is rebutted by objective facts. The everyday man needs gas in his car. That's a big item in his budget, transportation. On Obama's watch, gasoline is plummeting. The big boys want to make money on Wall Street. Today, the Dow Jones almost split the 18 ceiling on the watch of Barack Hussein Obama. Today, the economic indices and data indicated that 321,000 jobs were created in America last month. And that in the last year, 2014, more jobs have been created in this year than any time since 1999. Yes, any time during the 8 years of George Bush administration, even before the financial order imploded, even before the economic system virtually almost collapsed. That never happened for 8 years under our president, the Honorable George, the Honorable George W. Bush. It didn't happen. Yet he was not assaulted and attacked at every turn. We have these police execution now in our country. I say that because the only force that's allowed to execute legally, is those states in which we have capital punishment. In some states in this union, even the full force of government cannot execute a person and kill them. So what we look like in this great democracy allowing multiple instances where individuals in their subjectivity take upon themselves the use of ultimate force and summarily execute American citizens. But even in that crisis, Barack Hussein Obama demonstrated balance, sober, and wise leadership. Who could disagree with his posture? But some were not pleased. They didn't disagree with his posture. Many on the extreme conservative right admit, in essence, that Eric Garner in New York was murdered. And we have some of these weak-kneed Muslims allowing a nut like Glenn Beck to have more human conscience and to condemn Eric Garner's murder and assassination, and we don't have the sense to do it. Yeah, Glenn Beck, with his foolish self, condemning it. We run around here, that's not my business. Well, you go on about your business, brother. Go on about your business, sister. So, yes, look, be careful, study. Obama is working out. Obama is showing out. Obama is an outstanding president. I've studied politics by the grace of God for the last 30 years. I know it. And believe me, Obama is turning in a super above average performance as a political. If he was a chump, I'd tell you. It would be incumbent upon me to tell you. Because it would be unjust to try to inflate a son of Ham when he doesn't deserve it, misleading people. To my money, Barack Hussein Obama is the best American president all around since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Then you got to go all the way back to Lincoln to find another one like him. You run around here feeling all dislocated in the head about Obama when he's brought more dignity to the sons and daughters of Ham since he may have physically left the planet. I've been stating it all along about his wonderful and marvelous presidential tenure since I've been on the show. But now there's concrete evidence. There's documentary evidence. There's this monstrous evidence. There's prima facie evidence. There's presumptive evidence, both rebuttable and irrebuttable. Again, we have to look at things from a position of oneness. The bump phenomenon of Imam Muhammad incorporates the phenomenon of Barack Hussein Obama. They are all expression of one divine plan. That's enough. Brother talking about we got this the black power now. He was talking about President Obama and Eric Holder. And believe me, some of these people who are enemies of African American, there was a tweet, a private tweet from a Caucasian officer said, because Holder is ordering an investigation of the events surrounding the death of Eric Garner, he said that here come one African-American Eric trying to rescue another one. In other words, that statement to me suggested what they, some of them really fear. The ones who want to commit brazen murder with impunity. Look, I was in city court yesterday. I was hobnobbing with law enforcement brothers and sisters all day long. I respect law enforcement. Get along with law enforcement. When I was on the city council, we used to go out in my ward and knock and talk door to door. I said, told law enforcement, leave your guns somewhere else. Let's just knock and talk. It wasn't long before you could go throughout the ward and couldn't hardly find not one crime. You don't believe it? Go check the record in Selma, Alabama. So I don't have a problem with law enforcement, but nevertheless, the reality of it is that some feel that the way the current system operates with prosecutors in bed with law enforcement, that they can kill without worrying about an indictment. So the only threat to that state of absolute immunity from accountability upon murder is federal intervention, i.e. Eric Holder. So even though he made that statement, that told me he feels Eric Holder in his power. And then this man is the only one who could check us. And then you have the director of Homeland Security going around the country, Jay Johnson, making speeches. Director of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, so-called black power. The Attorney General of these United States, so-called black power. The President of these United States, so-called black power. Believe me, I love every bit of that, but I understand the African-American community has never really been on the road to survival with any power other than divine power. And with all this power we so-called have, we can't stop the racists from saying black skin and black bodies doesn't matter. And we can kill them at any time and won't have to serve a day in jail. All these murders are happening mostly. Men are on Obama's watch. It's not his fault. He doesn't share any blame. It's not Holder's fault. But they do have the power. I make this point to say, stop being silly looking for some black power. Get back to that old orientation of African-American people where the only power that mattered to us was the power of Almighty God, divine power. Divine strength. Divine might. The divine one with all of his forces, which must surely conquer. The divine one with all of his forces that must surely conquer. His promise will never be broken. His army will never be defeated. in the wealth of the wealthy availeth themselves not against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the mighty one. So now let's just go and look at some very tangible examples of his might. This is Yom Medin, and this is the time appointed where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will check the scheme of Satan. And in the Western tradition that's not under the influence directly of Quran, they talk about Michael being the archangel that fought against Lucifer in the heavens. And so, in the context of our Western conditioning and programming, when we think of Michael, we think about St. Michael and his war in the so-called heavens with Lucifer. So in the context of the West, when we see important historical events, where the name Michael pops up, then that's a sign that Allah is working to check through this event in this day of Yom Medin the strategies of Satan. Two recent events involving this name Michael that we need to take a look at. We'll deal one being Michael Brown, an African American, and the other being Michael Freeman, a Pennsylvania Caucasian who is the father of Eric Freeman, who murdered two state troopers in Pennsylvania, murdered one and critically injured the other, shot him with a weapon. It wasn't no toy gun. It was a weapon. This Eric Freeman, after killing a cop and brutally wounding another, when he was approached and captured, there was no chokehold put on him. There was no gun pulled upon him. He was captured alive, taken into arrest. That's our American way. But some of us are so foolish. I heard a young African American say today, well, people make choices. As if Michael Brown, if he took those cigars or whatever, that meant he should have been gunned down. If that's the case, Eric Freeman should have been lynched right on the spot in those Pennsylvania woods. But not only not killing a civilian, but killing law enforcement. That's considered one of the most atrocious crime in this country, to kill law enforcement. All law enforcement bind together. They come together. They work together to deal with the killer. But wasn't no chokehold put on him. Wasn't no pistol put on him. Find a kill shot that bust the top out of the scalp out the top of his head. The way we saw with Michael Brown. That's the American way. Eric Garner was from Staten Island. I don't know New York, but according to some of the reporters, many mobsters and gangsters and mafia men inhabit Staten Island, over the years have committed all kinds of crimes. We don't see the policemen over there on Staten Island forming a group and going at them. First thing they do, grab them and put them on a chokehold and killing them. If they do something and it's time to arrest them, they're arrested just like everybody else, put on trial. And either convicted or acquitted. Now, all of a sudden, and I hear even African Americans say this, it's all right for a law enforcement man to make a universal verdict, to come up with a universal verdict and an accompanying sentence of capital murder right on the spot without giving the criminal a chance for due process in a trial by jury. If Michael Brown stole some cigars, he should have been arrested. Well, he challenged all, called for backup, like happened in Selma earlier this week when this young man was stealing from Walmart. So 5-6 policemen that was in court that day with me, they didn't have a problem subduing him. And I saw him standing up there. He looked just as good, with a knot on his head nowhere. With a knot on his head nowhere. 2 nights in a row coming into Walmart stealing. Running through there, knocking officers down. They chasing him across the field. Oh, but Michael Brown started running. It's all right for the officer to pull out a gun and blast him. I was teasing his officer. I know. I said, brother, why you didn't pull out your gun? We can do nothing but laugh at each other. They ran him down, tackled him, handcuffed him, and took him to jail where he belonged. I don't support any criminals. Any stealing, any murder, any violation of the law. But this is America, and we have a time-tested way to punish criminals. Arrest them, try them, and jail them according to statutory sentences. And I haven't read a state law yet that allow an individual to receive the death penalty for shoplifting, stealing cigars or cigarillos or whatever. So Michael Brown was the big case, but because they could dig up some dirt, it was not enough to build a big mass support for what Allah is making happen in this country today. It all goes back to the image on the cross. The image that matter is white flesh, blonde hairs, and blue eyes. The black is not matter that matters, it's antimatter. That does not matter. So just like that body on the cross could be crucified, the antimatter that does not matter in black skin can also be easily crucified. So the man done told us we better remove these images. As long as these images are divine, I don't care what the American government does, any state government or local government in terms of progressive policy, that white supremacy is going to be in the soul of a good percentage of the American people. The imam told us to remove these images. But but we didn't listen. In this day of Yom Medin, where the scheme will be exposed, Allah is judging the scheme, that imagery of divine in skin color in one particular race must fall. Because the flesh of all the sons and daughters of Adam matters. You may have told us and warned us to take them down. But I don't understand, after all this progress, after all this history, why are we still facing the evidence of residual racism in the culture? Because you have dealt with state changes, legal changes, statutory changes, civil rights changes, but we have not dealt with the internal state of African Americans nor Caucasians that have been developed with the subliminal influence of racial images in the souls of white and black folk. Yeah, put the cameras on them. Appoint special prosecutors. All that's good. But that's not going to solve the problem. There's nothing that the state can do completely to solve the problem, because the state, the U.S. government, did not create the problem. The Prince of the Air created the problem when he put a rope around the European, a rope around Europa, raped the mind and soul of Europa, and gave them a doctrine of white supremacy, which forever tied them to the Prince of the Air in terms of being a puppet on a string. Bring some of them fellas from academia to talk to this donkey that's been taught by Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Bring them on. So Michael Brown is the operative revelation. But because he was tainted in his actions by the ones who was looking for an excuse to justify homicide, to justify murder, Allah had to allow a situation live and living color on a video where everything could be observed by every American. And so we went from Michael to Garner. Eric Garner to Garner what? Support for justice. They wouldn't give it through the Mikhail revelation. So now, in my permissive will, I must crystallize and heighten the contradictions in order to garner support. So these instruments of destruction, these angels of death wrap their arms around Eric Garner and choke the life out of him on global media. And now all over the world, this phenomenon is garnering support. Even though the message came to Michael Brown, which reveals the problem is the browning of the religious cow. And not only did Allah allow evidence to establish the residual influence of racial imagery in the religion, in the racist soul of many Caucasians, he also gave us a clue to garner support to establish that we living in the day of Yom Medin. The wife of this Eric Garner his name Esau. Esau is the name of a male. Since when has anybody on this show ever seen a woman with the first name Esau? That's one strange variable. And the second strange variable is the Saul is not spelled S-A-U as in Bible. It's spelled S-O-W, as if we look into the past. What's in the past? Prophecy? Esau. Go back and look at what was said. I see, that's the present. I saw, that's the past. And what was said in the past about Esau, the Edomite, who's considered the strongest nation among the Gentiles, according to the blueprint in Bible. And I'm going to read this from Romans. I don't have to read this. I used to hear the imam talk about this all the time. He never did read scripture on this. Never did. This is 25 and 26, Romans 11, 25, 26. It says that, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that in part it is to happen to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in." So according to the strip of this world, Esau the Gentile would be in a certain position of apparent illusionary rule until his culture and civilization reached its fullness. And see, when we see the dying vestiges of theological induced white supremacy being manifested overtly and blatantly before our eyes, it's like that patient who's dying and it has a last ditch rally before it starts chain stoking and the end comes. So really what this thing is all about is an intuitive, frustrated attempt on the part of Esau, on the part of the Gentile, on the part of the European, intuitively picking up that they have been manipulated in a position where they was allowed to rise. And now they're being maneuvered into a great fall. Frustrated. They don't know how to deal with it. But with the internalized God white supremacy complex, the only thing they know to do is to strike out with violence against the antimatter. The antimatter that does not matter. The black body. The black body. But they planned in a law plan a few years ago. Barack Hussein Obama was seen walking with Governor Christie in New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy. I did a broadcast on that whole message back when it happened. I'm not going to go there again. And I told the audience that Hussein and Hassan on the planet represent Muhammad. And I pointed out how Obama, later on, that Obama had started working with this Iranian leader named Hassan. But a person could have said that has nothing to do with the Western America, the Hassan over there. It's from the East. But if we study what happened in America, the first woman governor in the state of New Hampshire was elected, and her name is Hassan. So in America, we do have two Democrats now, Hussein Obama and Margaret Hassan, symbolizing Muhammad. And as Esau comes in the picture, this very, very decent African-American widow and wife in the literal sense, but projecting this message of Esau, here it is today. Go study the news. Chris Christie is back in the news. Why would he come back in the news? To remind us that, yes, the Gentile reaching its fullness, that's the prophecy of Jacob. But the prophecy that we need to look back and see is the prophet that Allah says in this day of Yom Kippur. Muhammad and Esau will be seen walking together. So on a literal, mundane level, Hussein and Christie were seen walking together as a sign that that process had already started in America, when the Imam used to teach about the fact that Muhammad was a form of Christ, and Christ was a nature. And just like the Christians say, Christ in me, the hope of glory, the Muslims say everybody is born a Muslim. The Muslim in me, the Muslim in you, the hope of glory. So that Muslim nature and the Christ nature, the Muslim nature that Muhammad represented and the Christ nature that Isa represented, is the same. So they can walk together. In this day and time, the foundation has been laid with the prophetic mission of Imam Wahzuddin Muhammad. Not prophetic in the sense that he was a prophet, but prophetic in the sense that he was used as a major instrument to help bring into concrete reality the prophecy that one day Muhammad and Esau will be seen walking together in the day of Yom Kippur. Now, the whole problem in the last few couple of thousand years, people have tried to suggest that the problem is between Jews and Arabs, blacks and whites, and all this kind of thing. Those clashes are real, but they are pale compared to the pale forces that have fueled history in the last 2,000 years plus, and even beyond. And I call your attention to the real clash of civilization. A book called Rome and Jerusalem, The Clash of Ancient Civilization, by Martin Goodman. There's been all kind of disguises to raise up an Islamic clash, a black-white clash. But the real clash that has been fueling civilization is the clash between Jacob and Esau. Esau being initially the Gentile people of Rome, who sacked and destroyed Jerusalem twice. This is a historical fact. In the attempt of the keepers of Jerusalem to fight back. Excuse me. To defeat the Gentiles and the Romans. Let me go to this book. And this is from page 477. It's called Wicked Edom, referring to the descendants of Esau, or as the computer says, the Edomites, the largest group among the Gentiles. Let me read it. I could read a lot, but we don't have time. Quote, whether many other Jews share the rabbinic viewpoint can be only guessed, but that some rabbis came to see Rome or Esau, I added that Esau, as wicked and malevolent, and good Romans as the exception is clear. The rabbis, as recorded in the legal texts like the Mishnah and in more discursive works of Bible interpretation, saw Rome as an instrument of war. And Rome was frequently equated by them with the hereditary enemy of Israel, Edom, which had been identified already in the biblical book of Genesis with the descendants of Esau, brother of Jacob. So that relation between the Israelite and the Edomite had the bitterness of fraternal hatred. So this woman named Esau brings our mind the Jacobean prophecy that they were going to do this thing until the Gentile reaches fullness. And look what it says in this. It says, and this is 26, so that all Israel should be saved. And it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Imam said that all kind of problem would be created on the planet, and mankind would be frustrated and would want to see the second coming of a Christ or a deliverer. And he said that this false figure is praying would come out of Zion as a deliverer. And then look what it goes on to say, and she'll turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. What ungodliness from Jacob? This king of trying to get back on the Gentile, on the European people, the Gentile people, and using any means necessary. They were not necessarily seeing themselves as being evil. Look what Joseph brother said. Well, we're going to pragmatically use this means to justify our end, but we have plenty of time to do right after that. So what this is saying, the Jacob scheme will come to an end when they admit they didn't do right, that it was ungodly. But once we come out of Zion, then we're going to do right. We have plenty of time to do right after that. But they plan and Allah plan. And Allah is the best of planners. What did they do? Imam said that they're going to build a temple and destroy that temple in 3 days. They were going to build up the Trinitarian concept. And he said that they say they're going to go to the Gentile and dye garments. They're going to corrupt the traditional teachings of Esau and others. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. In order to put this rabbit on skis on ice, give them an artificial idea of the Godhead. We're going to build this temple up in 3 days. We're going to destroy it. And we come and dye garments. And then the man pointed to Isaiah 56:10, said they could do this because they looked upon Esau and their descendants as dumb dogs. Go read, they call them dumb dogs. And in the word Edom, you see dumb. D-O-M, dumb dogs. And in giving this artificial idea of the Godhead called the Trinity, they would eclipse the sun, take away the social aspect of the deen that Jesus brought, and just emphasize the spirituality. So that's the big error. The cold, serpentine, non-warm-blooded human being, compassionate, social, merciful, need and religion for the weak and the poor and the oppressed. And so that's why we see this name Eric popping up. Eric Garner. The error is in the ice, the IC, the ice. And then the guy that historically by destiny is tied into him, Eric Holder. But listen to the name, the same Eric that's so crucial in this Eric Garner situation. Look at the name. Garner died from a chokehold. Hold is the primary part of Eric Holder's last name. The same attorney general who must investigate this chokehold case is named Holder himself. How could that happen if Allah had designed it? And the only way, that the social consciousness can be brought back to deen and the people can be resurrected, Adam can be resurrected, it must be on 60 arm span. So we see this bigger, this police official, his African-American brother, a big conscience. I've been studying. He threw his name Eric, but his last name is Adam. So the way that Allah is going to bring the sons and daughters from under this ice king is that he's going to interject community life and social life, social conscience, social justice back into religious deliberation in a scientific way. How is this going to be done? Let me give you the clue in this final Eric. The one that I was talking about earlier who has a daddy named Michael. So this too is very revelatory. All praise is due to Allah. This Eric Green, this state trooper murderer in Pennsylvania, he was captured want you to listen, on October 30th. 2014, the 85th birthday of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, the man who God missioned to come and break the sign of the cross, who put three in his birthday, put two threes in the years of his birth year. And he said that was a sign that he was to deal with the doctrine of the Trinity. Bring Tawhid, as the prophet brought it, our Abrahamic Tawhid, white as snow. But I also said in a broadcast that 8-1 is 9, and that on October 7th, of that same month, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would have turned 117 years old. Let's look at it. 8 and 1 is 9. That's the Imam. 117. 1 and 1 is 2. And 2 and 7 is 9. All of this stuff is related to the coming of Islam, al-Islam, to resurrect the human being, especially our people, who had the life choked out of them by the suffocating teachings of the Prince of the Air. And Allah raised this father and this son up. To clean up the air pollution. So now you go study. As we get ready to close out, I have something else that I should be giving you, but I'm getting weak. Go look at the numbers on that jersey that this murderer is wearing, this killer cop is wearing, who choked out the breath of Eric Garner. Garner. What are those numbers? In this year 2014 is 2 9s. One referring to the 117 of Elijah and the 81 of the Imam. And out of the fruit of Elijah's work came one who brought the book that Allah referred to when he said, when I breathe in the hem of my spirit, you make sajda, you bow down, because there's no choking out then. With your polluted air, the spiritual nature of Adam, when his holy bit, have you heard anybody talk about Wallace Muhammad, Waruthuddin Muhammad, or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? You haven't heard it, because men are not going to bring that out. But Allah is Ar-Rashid, the right God. And those 299, that 99 also referring to the mighty attributes of Almighty God, which are in play to raise up a massive phenomenon like the mission of Elijah Muhammad and his son, Waruthuddin Muhammad, to bring back the freshness of Quran and the purity of scripture rehearsed by the Imam is based upon what the prophet taught, kept pure and holy. We'll finish this up next week. I repeat our theme. Debunking the myth of Ham,
reflecting the life of a blessed Imam, it is the end of the time of Esau. So that the ice has begun or began to thaw. How did it begin? When Imam brought correct scripture, declipsed the sun, the special place of half the religion, marriage, the social life of half the religion. And so now he put us in a position where the prophecy of Allah supersedes the prophecy of the Gentile reaching his fullness in that plan. And now we're moving into an era where Muhammad and Christ can be seen walking together. So as Muslims, we have the obligation to let the world know, to let the Christian people know, that what Jesus and Muhammad taught was not in conflict. Did not war with each other. But what they both brought was a message from the Lord of all the worlds. Dearly beloved Muslims, if you get a chance, go and see that any of these sleeping pill imams in our community. Get some tapes or recordings of today's Jummah. See whether they even attempted to do what this donkey did out of love to keep us alert and alive, understanding that religion means alive, not sleeping pill ritualism. How many of them attempted to do this? Well, brother, you tacked some stuff together. Maybe I did. But I also connected a bunch. As long as I had good intentions, I'm going to get credit, extra fold, for the good that I intended to do. And only get one penalty for the mistake that I made. Because my niyyah was sincere and pure, hoping for and looking for the victory for the believers that Allah has promised us. Dear beloved people, we thank you for your attention. We hope and pray that you have understood. Please overlook my debilities of expression today because of this physical situation. But we made it and completed it. And Brother Imam, I leave you in the audience as we greeted you. As-salamu alaykum, and if you're there and still present, there's a need for additional dialogue. We'll struggle through it. As-salamu alaykum. Anybody in the studio? Well, dearly beloved audience, the Imam is apparently not in a position to continue on, so we're going to end this broadcast again with the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you.